And how many of y'all are grateful that there is a God that will allow you to get through the storm of life? Isn't that amazing? A great song, a new song. We'll probably hear that song again. What do you think? You want to hear that song again? That'd probably be a good one to hear again. Because somewhere down the line, we're going to have to go through the storm. Today, we're going to focus on something that I really want you to grab a hold of, okay? How many of y'all really want your life to come together? You really want it to come together. Okay, watch. Then you got to get things in order. Would you agree with me? They got to be in order. Well, to get them in order, you got to get some truth in your life, because it's the truth of God that'll set you free. And so part of the truth is you got to get the order in line. Here's what the Bible tells us. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all else will be added unto you. Seek ye first what? God. The kingdom of God. And what's in the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is our salvation. It's our connection point to God. And we're going to talk today about, for just a moment, because I'm going to let you loose today. What do you think about this? You know, all the time I hear this, Pastor Steve, you know, I don't know, we really don't have enough time to find out about the church. I'm going to give you the time today to find out about the church. Okay? It's our last Sunday in January, and from out of January we launched this whole year, and you've heard the main things we're about here at Hillview. We want to connect people to Jesus Christ. We want to make sure that we have a community that reflects the teachings of Jesus Christ. We want to make sure that you hear the truth. How many realize we got to hear the truth? How many of y'all find out the truth hurts sometimes? The truth hurts, but it always works. How many of y'all found that? It works. You're going to hear the truth at Hillview. Because we want you to get well. We want you to live a full and abundant life. I cannot get you through a full and abundant life by telling you a lie that makes you feel good for a moment. Now let me ask you a question. If you had a choice between donuts and spinach, which one would you choose? Absolutely. How would you look a year later? Like a donut. But now you got to get you some spinach. Because if you eat your spinach, what's going to happen? You're going to get powerful. You're going to get possible. You're going to be capable. And so I'm going to talk about us really getting involved. Now, I want you to let that verse kind of percolate up in your head and sink down way down in here to your heart. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. So that shows us this. Guess what? There's one thing the kingdom of God is not about. And I want you to hear me with all love. It's not about you. It's not about me. And Hillview, you've done a pretty good job hearing that, but I'm going to bring that up to you constantly, because I'm going to tell you what. I'm really worried. I finished two books this week. And for me to finish two books in a week, that means God's really put something on my heart. We are being deceived. And we have been fed a bunch of baloney for about 50 years in this serve me church concept. You can't find a bit of New Testament evidence to it. You know, you got people going to church and say, well, I didn't feel this way. That's not what church is about. Church is not about fulfilling your emotional moment. You can get that with drugs. You can get that in a rock and roll concert. I mean, I've been to a rock and roll concert. There's a big crowd, a lot of lights, and I came out feeling energized. Huh? We banged on some loud music, went, yah, 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 yah. And we came out of the concert going, yah, 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 yah. And Dr. Earl, we weren't a bit more spiritual, probably less than we were when we went in. This is what I'm really telling you. There's no New Testament proof for any of this jazz the church has been digesting for 50 years. Jesus is not a great therapist. He's not a baby boomer. He's not a yuppie. And he really doesn't care that they've arrived. Because guess what he knows? They're going to go. He's a Savior that loves all people. Has died for every type of culture. But we got to stay in the truth. Here's the truth. We've all sinned. How many of y'all understand that? Seek ye first the kingdom of what? I'm going to give you the basics, brother. Chathen, you can hear us a lot better right now, can't you? We've all sinned. We've all fallen short of God's glory. We all broke the Ten Commandments. And Jesus Christ came and died so that we all could have life. He rose again, knowing and showing us that life, there is life beyond this earthly moment. How many of y'all are glad to know that? I am. I'm glad to know when I lose a loved one, I can say, ah, they're with Jesus. Isn't that a comfort? And not, oh no, what happened? No, they're with Jesus, man. That's cool. But I want you to know, church, we got to serve God. Seek ye first the kingdom of what? And all else will be added unto you. Jesus was, in Luke chapter 10, he was asked, it costs something to follow Jesus. You got to decide to do it his way and not your way. Isn't that the battle of spirituality? And what y'all know, I'm telling you the truth. How many of you all have ended up in a consistent disaster throughout your life? Maybe it's in relationships, maybe it's with a habit, but you've had a consistent disaster. How many of you have noticed when you always do the preliminary actions, it always yields the same results? How many of y'all found that? So I want us to learn to really work and serve and love and engage with people, because guess what? If you're going to follow Jesus, you ought to get better. How many of y'all found that? But watch this. Here's what I found. If you just give it up to Christ, we line up. Now, I want you to hear me with all integrity, all truth. Following Jesus is not comfortable. If you go to a church and they tell you that your life's going to be fulfilled because you followed Jesus, tell that to the Apostle Paul. He had the hell beat out of him because he followed Jesus. He didn't get a diamond ring and a limo. He got smacked at Lystra. They kicked him out of the city, threw rocks on him, thought he was dead. I love this brother. You know he got some power. I mean, he is beat to a pulp. You know what he does? He stands back up and walks back into the city. He says, one more time, I just want to let you know, Jesus died on a cross and rose. They left him alone that time. How many of y'all notice you leave stuff alone you can't kill? You don't see nobody messing with Jesus, do you? Can't kill him. Can't get him out of the way. He brings us through. It's not comfortable. And if anybody's ever told you you're going to follow Jesus and all these wonderful little things are just going to be your pleasures, they lied to you. That is as unbiblical as it gets. Noah followed God. You think he was comfortable running around in a boat full of animals? What comfort is there? Can you imagine the smell of that ride for 40 days? But God said, you got to go. Now, if just because God doesn't care about our comfort, does that mean God doesn't care about us? No, he deeply cares about us. He cares about us so deeply, he helps us get over our comfort so we can get to the realities of life. And we're in a nation deceived by comfort, and the church has breathed in that deception. I have people all the time tell me, well, Pastor, I can't serve. I don't know if it'll bless me. We could care less if it blesses you. Am I being straight enough? As your pastor, I could care less if you get a blessing. If going to heaven and being relieved of our stinking sins and to be able to reside with Jesus for eternity ain't enough blessing for you, then there ain't much hope to you. See, I don't think you realize this. None of us deserved heaven. I think that's where we are shallow. None of us deserved heaven. I'm talking even you good church-going people. Y'all are as big as sinners as the rest of us. Y'all that run around and say, well, I never had a drop of alcohol. Well, that just means you're going to have an alcohol-free hell. That's all that means. Because you were a liar and a gossip. And that's just as detestable and nasty as any other sin. All sin stinks. Amen. Can I preach a little bit today? All sin stinks. Now, we on a mission here at Hillview. We're going to tell the truth. We're going to deal with sin. We aren't going to deal with medical dilemmas. We aren't going to deal with dysfunctions. We're going to call it what it is. Stinking sin. And there's only one way I know to get out of stinking sin, and that's a loving Jesus. And he died on the cross and he rose from the grave, and that's what it is. Brad, you can call it an addiction, but what it is, a sin. It's a breach of the first commandment. Everybody in here that struggles with addictions, all you're doing is breaking the first commandment. Have no other gods before me, and you got another God. Whether it was marijuana or cocaine or meth or crack or Playboy or Penthouse, whatever, you got another what? Other than God. Some of you broke the first commandment because you worship being a Baptist or a Charismatic or a Pentecostal or Spirit-filled. You worship being religious more than you do being righteous. We broke the first what? Commandment. And God says, since you broke the first commandment, now I want to seal that relationship up. How many of y'all understand this? God wants to connect himself into your reality. Why? Because he loves you deeply. But hear me clearly. Just because you're in love with somebody doesn't mean everything's going to be comfortable. I mean, how many of y'all are married? How many of y'all love your spouse? Is it always comfortable? Not unless you're in some kind of, you know, denial trip. I mean, what's, I'm going to help y'all with something. I know I'm being very straight today because, listen, my job's not to bash all these other churches, and I'm not going to do that as a pastor. I don't believe that's my business. But my job is to make sure that the folks that are under my voice and in my earshot hear the clear truth. That is my business as a pastor. And so I want you to hear the clear truth, man. It's not always going to be comfortable. And a lot of times when it's uncomfortable, it's of God. And a whole lot of times when it is comfortable for you personally, it's not of God. Because the greatest way the devil can deceive you is make you emotionally comfortable. Because then he can work you what? Because here's what the devil knows. You'll eat a donut before you eat a bowl of spinach. You'll take it sweet before you'll take it strong. How many of y'all like that? So let me see what Jesus said. He said, man, you got to follow me. He said, he uses this metaphor. He said, who's going to follow me? One guy he asked, he said, you want to follow me? And he said, yeah. And he said, well, guess what? He said, this is the way it works for me. He says, foxes have holes. Birds have a nest. But the Son of Man has no place to rest his head. What, did God not love him, or was he on a mission? He was on a mission. Let me ask you, folks, guess what? We're to be people on a mission, in mission. Another guy, he said, well, Jesus, I'd follow you, but guess what? I got to go to a funeral. He said, let the dead bury the dead. Can you imagine me saying that when one of y'all called up with a loved one? You imagine me saying that? I mean, Jesus would be fired as a pastor. There is no doubt about it. Can you imagine Jesus? Here comes one of his parishioners. But Lord, my mother-in-law, she's passed away. And he said, let the dead bury the dead. We got eternal king. Can you imagine? Jesus, you're fired. Why? Because Jesus doesn't have any problem with funerals. What he's saying there, there's something greater than human death at hand, my kingdom. One guy said, well, I got to go back and say goodbye to my family. And guess what Jesus said? He said, I'll tell you what. He said, here's what I'm going to tell you. Those who follow me, those who serve me, guess what? They'll put their hand to the plow and never look back. Now, how many of y'all put your hand to the plow and not look back? I want to teach you something before I let you out of here. That's the kind of attitude that'll get it done. Here's what Jesus is talking about. You get a direction with God, and you stay in that direction until God comes through. Amen. What do you think? Yeah, now, I'm going to tell you something that's true. You were sitting in a church that put its hand to the plow and didn't look back. I tell you, it's what saddens me, folks. I want you to hear me. You know how a lot of my colleagues are doing church? They've taken an opinion survey of the congregation to see what everybody needs and what they want and how they feel. I want to be very clear. I don't care how y'all feel. I don't care how I feel. So if I don't care how I feel, where's that put you? I don't care how you feel. I don't care how I feel. When I get ready to do a sermon, I don't lay my Bible out there and look on to God and say, God, connect this with my feelings. Make sure I'm warm and fuzzy about this. So I say, God, what do we need to hear this week? And then most of the time I go, oh, not that. No, Lord, come on. It's January. That is what God wants us to hear this week. We need to work. And I want to reclaim something, and I'm going to let you go. You got to work it to make it happen. I won't leave you with a message. Work is still important. How many of y'all know work is still important? Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you really know that. You know what, Johnny? I want the boys here to know you still got to work it to make it happen. I want to show you, because we're going to talk about service today, and let me boil down Christian service. You work in the kingdom of God. It's all right. You work. And here's what I love about God. I love this about God. He doesn't do long-distance ministry. John Paul, you've been around the kingdom of God for a long time. I've coined a phrase. You know what we got going on now in the church? Virtual ministry. We want to analyze the problem, and we want to get a remote control with our Bibles, and we want to do ministry from the remote. How many of y'all glad that God got in the boat? And God walked on the streets. And God got around, Earl, that smelly fish around the lake. And he messed around, walked right in the midst of sinners that didn't smell real good. And he got comfortable. No, he got uncomfortable for God's glory. And that's what I'm going to ask you to do, to be uncomfortable for God's glory. Because I want you to have a full and abundant life. Does that make sense? Y'all give me a head nod and nod. Am I making sense today? I'm being kind of just straight up today because I don't want anybody here to get deceived. Watch this. I'm going to be very confessional. You know what my greatest fear as a pastor is? Is that I would have lied to y'all. And I'm not going to lie to y'all. I'm going to tell you straight what it says. It's what it says, what it says. Now, I'm going to be very honest. I don't like everything it says. I don't. And guess what I found out? God could care less. I said, Lord, I don't like it. And he said, well, you wasn't here where I wrote it. You're right. And I said, but Lord, this is painful. He said, have you been nailed to a cross yet? I said, you know, Lord, that's a good comment. How many of y'all have ever whined to God? I mean, how many of y'all going to talk about your injustice to Jesus? Huh? Well, yeah, I mean, he's laughing at you. Because guess what he could say? You deserve what you got. I mean, come on, let's wake up, smell the roses. How many of y'all deserve what you got? If Elizabeth was to leave me, she could probably build a case where there have been some times that that's been a good move. Grace went through there. You see, it's not about always being comfortable. Have I made that point? It's about being faithful. And you want to change your life, be faithful. You want to be weird in the 21st century? Be faithful. You know how many people I've seen leave this church as soon as it doesn't go their way? Thousands. Well, I have to be honest, at times I was tempted. Well, maybe we need to do one of those polls, them survey polls, to see what everybody wants. I mean, I'm laughing. I go to these churches and they talk to me and say, Pastor Steve, our pastor's gone. We need another pastor. And we've sent a survey out to all the congregation finding out what they want in a pastor. I said, that's where you've messed up right now. I said, you just turned the pastor of the church into a popularity poll. I said, you know what? I said, I'm going to blow y'all away. God could care less what you want in a pastor. God wants you to have the pastor he wants you to have for this moment of time. I said, instead of sending that survey poll out, you ought to be petitioning a sovereign God to give us what we need, even if we don't want it. How many of y'all have ever had what you needed, even when you didn't want it? I grew up with a daddy like that. He gave me a quick, swift kick every once in a while. I didn't want it. But God knows I needed it. He gave me boundaries. How many of y'all don't want boundaries? Come on, let me be honest with you. I remember when I was 16, I thought life would have been beautiful. Coach Hayes, you going through this yet with a little adolescence here? Life without boundaries. You remember that? And guess what I praise God for now as a middle-aged man? Boundaries. Because guess what I found out? Boundaries equal blessings. No boundaries equal death. But I was too stupid at the moment to know it. You know what I mean? You may have been smart, but I wasn't smart enough to know. Bang, there's some boundaries for my own health. Let me show you what Jesus said. Work the harvest. The harvest is plentiful. Here at Hillview, man, we want to work the harvest. I want you to note the word God used. He didn't say pray in the harvest. He didn't say write in the harvest. He didn't say, write 1,000 conference materials over the harvest. He actually said go harvested. I have never seen wheat harvested without effort. We never got the corn in unless you put the combine to the field. I live in a church and have lived in a church for a long time. I used to mow hay. Anybody here ever mowed hay? We're still country enough. A few of y'all mowed hay. You mowed hay? Chris Allen, you mowed hay? Gee, that's probably why you came a weatherman sitting on a tractor trying to figure out what was going to happen. Isn't that cool? Anybody else here mow hay? Y'all ever mowed hay? Come on. Marge, I know you mowed some hay. Marge, you remember, Mr. Miller, you remember when we had the sickle bar? Remember back in that day? A sickle blade. How many of y'all know what a sickle blade is? Sickle blade, yeah. It's a big old blade and it's long. That's about, 10 feet? H, what are they, 10 feet? Maybe 10 feet. And H mowed a little hay. And the bar goes up and down like this. Well, in the wintertime, if you farm, what did you do with a sickle? You couldn't mow any hay, so what'd you do with that sickle blade? You sharpened it. I mean, I remember being in the barn and it'd be cold in January and they have those grinders out. They were kind of fun because sparks flew everywhere. That farmer had us in there sharpening sickle blades. And I'd ask him all the time, I said, why in the world we got to sharpen these blades? Why can't we just do nothing? It's cold. We can't go out there in the field. I said, we can't use the blade right now. He said, I'm getting a blade ready for the harvest. I said, we've already sharpened one blade. You got
three other blades over here. We got to sharpen. He said, well, you know we're going to break a blade. You've done this enough years. I said, you're right. He said, I am ready for the harvest. When I'm ready for the harvest, I want all my blades sharpened. Well, church, I'm going to tell you the truth. We spent 50 years. We got sharp blades. Can you imagine that farmer spending all his time sharpening blades but never delivering that bar to the hay field? Because guess when that blade knew its purpose? When do you think that blade really discovered its purpose?
Goes to cut.
Absolutely. The blade didn't discover its purpose while it was being sharpened in the barn. It was preparing for its purpose. I think we've had a church that's been in a barn for 50 years. Sharpening itself. This conference, that meeting, this study, that study, this purpose, that purpose. And guess what Jesus said? The fields are wide unto... But he says the harvest is plentiful. Go ahead and put that up on the giant screen Bible here. So I want you to see, this is what Jesus said. He sent 72 people out, and here's what he said. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are... What are we in lack of? Notice he didn't say worshipers. He didn't say prayers. He didn't say authors. He didn't say singers. He said what? Man, how does that speak to today's time? What's the hardest thing to get somebody to do? Because guess what happens when you work? Sweat. Excuse me, ladies. We perspire. What else? Now, I shake some hands in this congregation of some working people. Their hands feel different of non-working people. You know what I mean? And I can look at the eyes of people who work mentally. They look like this at Friday. Yeah. And I can look at people that do absolutely nothing because they're complaining about everything. Just by the way, I just help you all with that so you don't get, you know, wigged out in your life. If you're around people that complain all the time, it's because they don't do anything. I'm telling you the truth. They don't do anything. So they sit around and observe everybody that does something, and they're critical of people that do something. I'm talking about go be something. Jesus didn't say go do something. He said go be in the harvest. Look, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Now ask who? You better believe prayer is important. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into His harvest field. So what are we doing in this harvest? We're letting people know that there's a connection to Jesus. Go get the harvest, church. Amen? Hey, y'all doing a good job at that. I'm fixing to let you go. Because guess what? On the second floor, we got all kinds of ministry opportunities for you to get involved in. I want you to go see them today. I'm going to give you enough time to go see them. Amen? You got time to go see what you could be about. God's doing a good work here, folks. How many of y'all have had fun in January? Guess what? Watch this. Now, hear me in love. Hear me in love. Hear me in love. How many of y'all, can you tell me? I'm going to hear you in love. God could care less if we had fun. How many of y'all heard the Lord this month in January? And you know He spoke to you. He said, man, you need to be about this. This is your part of the harvest. This is what you need to be engaged in. It's about loving Jesus. And loving Jesus eventually becomes a hands-on experience. Amen? And so we're going to make that happen. So all kinds of ministries. I just want to be really honest with you. We don't need to start 50,000 new ministries here. That's just a waste of time. We got enough ministries going on here to bless the world, and there's enough ministries for you to be involved in. Now, for some of you, you're going to have to learn how to do this so you can actually become a profitable human being. You have to learn how to submit to some other people's leadership before you can be a leader. Here's what I know. But you're in trouble. Your pastor does have the gift of discernment. If you can't follow, I know you can't lead. Coach Cox is here today. I get to work with Coach Cox. I love working with Coach Cox, and he laughs because he knows I love working with him. I'm an assistant, and I love being an assistant. You know why I love being an assistant? I get to share my opinion and absolutely take no responsibility for it if it doesn't work. And he laughs at me because he knows the rest of the week, guess what? It's on my head. You know, I got my associate pastors, they go, this would be a great idea. I go, yeah, I bet it would, Jamie. They ain't going to write you a bunch of emails on it. They're going to write me the emails on it. I get to do that to the coach. You know, I say, Coach, I'd do an all-out blitz if I was you. But no, that's just my suggestion. He goes, well, what if it doesn't work? I said, that's fine with me. They're going to blame you, not me. So thought it looked good, though. Huh? But guess what? If I can't follow, I can't lead. If you can't follow, you can't what? Jesus said, we got to follow. We're all followers. And let me give you the bottom line of Hillview. We want everybody here to take a breath and follow Jesus. We're not after people to become leaders here. We're after people here to become followers of Jesus. Now, note this. And some of the followers of Jesus will be leaders in the church. So, but I'm more concerned about you being a what? Follower of Jesus. And that means we go get in the harvest. Everybody cool? Any questions? I'm serious about that. Well, let's stand up and we're going to get out of here and go look at ministry opportunities. Because the fields are what? White. I've been pretty direct today. If you're offended, I want you to go consider in Scripture. If you're offended about today's lesson, I want you to come and show me in Scripture where God has come to satisfy our emotional needs. I invite you to that search because you're going to be reading a long time in that Bible to find that. Because it's not in there. You say, well, what about my emotional needs? Does God think they're important? Absolutely. He thinks they're so important. He died on a cross so that your whole being might be changed. Not just so that you'd feel good for a moment, but you'd end up in heaven forever. I like that deal better. Amen? I'm choosing B. And so let's pray right now. Listen, if you need a relationship with Jesus Christ, maybe today or this week, sometime Jesus said, hey, listen, I want you to be in my kingdom. I've been loving on you. I want to be in your life. Our pastors are going to be up here today, and they're going to talk to you. Maybe today as you watch Seth and Roley and others, Jonathan, be baptized, you say, you know, I need to be baptized. I've asked Jesus in my life, but I've never stepped up. I've never stepped up to really confess to the world that I'm a part of Jesus' ministry. All right, we're going to go work the what? That's awful quiet in here. The what? Go be a worker, amen? If you need a relationship with Jesus Christ, this altar is open. Some of you who pray and you know God's called you to pray, if you don't mind just touching down at the altar so we can follow the Scripture. The Scripture said there, ask the Lord of the what? For what? Workers. Some of your all's job is to be praying to the Lord that we get workers. That's your all's job in church. All right? And so let's all work it together. Amen? It's going to be a great year. How many of y'all know we're going to have a great year? Yeah, good. How many of y'all plan on having a great year? How many of y'all going to stay in there even when it gets tough? How many of y'all going to stay in there even if the Steelers lose? Huh? I'm going for the Steelers, old man. How many of y'all praying for the Steelers? All right, good. We need to do that. I'm praying. I mean, come on, guys. I mean, this is the bus's last year. Give him a break. He needs a ring before he hangs it up. Come on, be Christian about this deal. You know, that's Sean Alexander. He's a young buck. He can run for the next 15 years. He'll have another chance. I mean, the bus is at the moment of glory. He ain't doing that next year, I'm telling you. I've seen him run. Ever runs like, man, that was a long yard. Okay? And how many of y'all know some of that now? Coach Hayes back there laughing. He couldn't run a sprint now. I'm telling you, see, it all fades, amen? Fades on me, fades on you. Never fades on who? Jesus, he's sovereign, he's loving, he's the Lord. Let's pray, Lord. Some may need to come to the front today and receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Others need to be reminded that what they do at church is important. What they do in the kingdom of God is even more important than that. And as we pull it together and move it forward, God, you want to do some great things. And so, Lord, as we dismiss today, I just pray that you bless this church in a powerful way. You really turn on, Father, young men and old men and young women and older women to serving the Lord together and working the harvest that you've given us. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Okay, second floor is where you go find out about these ministries, all right? What floor? Okay, y'all go up there. If you need a relationship with Jesus, talk about Christ, the pastors are up front here. They'd love to talk to you, okay? See ya. Go work hard. Third floor, too. Second, third floor. New building over there.